Okay, good morning. Today's daf is daf Tzadi Beis, page 92. We were at the very bottom of Tzadi Aleph of page 91. We're still discussing the source that Tchiyas HaMeisim in HaTorah, that the Torah itself talks of the dead coming back to life. Last source we saw at the end of yesterday's learning was a verse from the prophet Isaiah, where Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said, since the verse says that in the future, Kol Tzofayich Nas Ukol Yachdav Yiranenu, the voice of your prophets, they give a voice together, and they're going to sing when they see the return to Zion. Means these prophets are going to sing then, so that's a proof that there will be a revival of the dead. So three lines from the bottom here on Tzadi Aleph Amud Beis. I'm Rav Yehuda Marav. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav. Rav Chiya bar Abba first said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. All the prophets in the future are going to say a song with a single voice. As it says, Kol Tzofayich, the voice of your visionaries, Nasu Kol, they lifted up their voice. Yachdav, and together, Yiranenu, they will sing. Said Rav Yehuda, in the name of Rav, Kol Amonei Halach Mipi Talmid, any person who has Torah, and yet he doesn't share it, he denies a student the chance to get a law from him. Ki'ilu goes l'minachas avosav. It's like stealing from someone the inheritance of his ancestors. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, Torah tziva lanu Moshe. Torah was commanded to us by Moshe. Morasha, it's the heritage of Kehilas Yaakov, of the entire community of Jacob. So it belongs to all the Jews. So no rabbi has a right to be selfish and not to go out and teach. The Torah belongs to all the Jews. If he doesn't go share it, he's denying a Jew that which belongs to him. Morashi l'chol Yisrael, this is the heritage that belongs to all the Jews. Misheshes yimei bereishis, from the very beginning of the world, from the 6 days of creation, because the Torah says, in the very beginning of the Torah, bereishis, in the beginning, Rashi explains, bereishis, in the beginning, bishvil reishis, for the sake of Torah, and for the sake of the Jewish people who are called reishis. So, the world was created for the sake of Torah, and somebody who denies Torah, doesn't teach Torah to another Jew, is denying him something which belongs to him from the beginning of the creation of the world. Amar Rav Chana bar Bizna, Amar Rav Shimon Chasida, Kol Amonei Halach Mipi Talmid, any person who has Torah knowledge that he knows and he doesn't go out and share it, so he's denying halacha, denying laws from a student. Afilu ubrin shebimei imo mekalin oso, even the fetuses that are still inside the womb start cursing him. Shenamar, as the verse says, monehu monea bar, one who withholds the bar, one who withholds bar is the grain, one who withholds the grain, yikavuhu la'om, he gets cursed by la'om. What's la'om? La'om is fetuses. La'om el ubrim. How do we know that? Because that's what happened to Rivka, when Rivka had her babies fighting inside of her womb. She goes to Lidrosha Selukim to seek out God, and the prophet tells her, Ula'om ila'om ya'ematz. And La'om from the other La'om will be fighting with each other. It's referring to the babies fighting with each other in the womb. So you see that Yikavu, he'll be cursed by the La'om by the fetuses. In Kavo ala klala. Kavo means to be cursed. Shenamar, as the verse says, that Bilam said, Mo'ekov, how could I curse? Lo Kavo el, when God will not allow me to curse. Ein bar la Torah. Now the grain is a reference to Torah. Shenamar, as the verse says, Nashku bar penya enough, which means learn, teach Torah, lest God gets angry with you. So you see that bar is a reference to Torah. Ula bar Yishmael Omer, Ula the son of Yishmael said that a person who has Torah and he refuses to share it, and he's not going around giving to children of Israel their heritage, what they deserve. He doesn't teach halachos to those who deserve it. Yikavu. So what does it mean? Ula bar Yishmael said, what happens to him? Menakvin oso kikavra. He's going to be punctured like a sieve, filled with holes. Because it says here, Monea bar yikavu la'om. It says over there, Vayikach yoyada kohen aron echad vayikov chor bedalto. Vayikov says about Yehoyada that he made a hole in the door. Vayikov is that he made a hole. Amar Abaya, Abaya explained, he gets so many holes, ki uchla de kaktri, like the utensil of the launderers. They have a utensil filled with holes, out of which they sprinkle some drops on the clothing that they're cleaning. So that's what happens to him. He has all sorts of Torah that he doesn't want to share, so Hashem's going to force him to share it. He's going to be punctured and the Torah is going to seep out. Now what happens if there's a Torah scholar who has Torah and he shares it with other Jews? That's as many Jews as he can. He gets blessings like Yosef. As it says there in Mishlei, Ubracha, and blessing, the Rosh to the head of Mashbir, of the man who provides. In Mashbir, who's the provider? Ela Yosef, that's a reference to the biblical Yosef. Shanam, as it says, Yosef was Shalit al Haaretz. Yosef was the ruler over Egypt. Hu Amashbir, L'chal Am Haaretz. He was the provider of livelihood to all those who were on the land of Egypt. Amar Rav Sheshes says, Kalam Alami Torah Bo'olam Hazeh. Anyone who teaches Torah in this world, Zocho Malamdal Olam Abba, will merit to teach it in the next world when the dead come back to life. Shanam, as it says, Umarveh, and the one who fills, Gamhu Yoreh, he will also instruct. In other words, the one who fills people with Torah here, in the next world, he will keep ruling, he'll keep teaching, they'll keep asking him questions. Amar Rava said, Minayin L'tchias HaMeisim Min HaTorah, what's the source that the dead are coming back to life in the Torah? Where does it say it? Because Moshe Rabbeinu says, Yechi Ruvain v'al-yamos. Let Ruvain live and he won't die. What does that mean? Why repeat twice? He should live and not die. We're on page Sadi Bezim at Aleph. Yechi Ruvain v'olam hazeh. Ruvain should live in this world. Al-yamos and not die. L'olam haba in the world to come. Ravina Amameach, Ravina said, this is the source. V'rabi miyesheni ad mas'afar yakitsu. And many of those sleeping in the dust of the earth, in the are going to wake up. Some of them for eternal life. And others for shame, for eternal embarrassment. Rav Asher said, this is the verse. Va'ata, and you, lech, lekeitz, go to your end. V'tanuach, and rest. V'tamod legorolcha, and you will awake to your fate, l'keitz hayamin, to the end of days. In other words, you're going to pass away, and then you're going to rest, and you're going to wake up again. That means it's going to be tchiyas
hameisim. Am I Reuven was the most religious out of all the brothers?
No.
No. So why is, talking about living forever and come back and...
So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu blessed him, right? That in the future, Reuven will live and he won't die. You would have thought that he's not coming back to life because of what he did with the bed of his father. But Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, you hear Reuven. Reuven will live, Al Yamos, and he's not going to.
But when the father wanted to go to Egypt, first send one of the brothers who opened up yeshiva, yeshiva first.
Yehuda. Yeah.
So Yehuda is the religious one. Then.
Yeah, okay. That's right. Amar Rabbi Elazar said, Kol Parnas Shemanigas Hatzibur Benachas. Any president of a community, he devotes himself to helping the community, and he leads the community with pleasantness. He doesn't get angry, he doesn't assert power. He's just a pleasant leader. Zoche umanhigim l'olam haba. He will merit to be the leader of the Jews in the world to come. Shanam, as it says, ki merachamam, for the one who loves them, yinhagim, he will lead them. Val mavue mayim yinahalem, and on pleasant waters he will lead them. Amar Rabbi Elazar says, Gedola Deya, great is judgment. As the Maharsha explains, God created every creature with its potential and its abilities. The human being was created with the ability to have das, to exercise good judgment. So he's expected to work with his brain a little bit and to exercise good judgment and understanding. So great is good judgment and understanding. Shenitna bein shtei osios. It was given between the two letters. In other words, between God's name. Shenamaz, it says, ki kel deos Hashem. For kel, that's the name of God, Aleph Lamed, deos, of judgments, is Hashem. So, wow, an amazing thing. It was between the two names of God is judgments. What a high, powerful, and impressive thing. Amar Belezer says, Gadol Mikdash. You know what else is as great as judgment, good judgment? The temple itself. Shenitna ben Shtei Osios. That was also described and given between two letters of God's name. Shenamar, it says, Pa'alta Hashem, Mikdash Hashem, Konenu Yadecha. You made God, the sanctuary of God did your hands prepare. So again, the sanctuary is between the two names of Hashem. Maskafla Rav Ada Karchina. So Rav Ada Karchina challenged this. Elmiata, if this is the case, that any time you have something between names of Hashem, it's an amazingly special, wonderful, great thing. I say, Gedola Nekama, is revenge such a great thing? Shenitna ben Shnei Osios, that's also presented in the verse between two names of God. Dechsev, as it says, Kael Nekamos Hashem, a God of vengeances is God. Kael Nekamos Sophia, may the God of revenge appear. Amarleis, he said to him, it is. Lemilse, Achanani. When revenge is called for, it's a great thing. And revenge is called for against the wicked nations of the world, it's a great thing. Kedula Zula said, Amar Ula said, Shteho Foz Halalu Lama. Why in this verse do you have the word appearance twice? Keil Nekamos Hashem. Keil Nekamos Hofia. Right? Because it says Keil Nekamos, a Lord of revenge. Hofia should appear. In other words, both revenges should appear. So let's tell you like this. Achas lemida tova. There's a revenge of reward. When God says, I'm not going to place my presence on the nations of the world and only the Jews are going to get prophecy. That's a good revenge. In other words, the nations of the world, they were offered the chance to get Torah. They rejected it. So God takes revenge and says, okay, only the Jews get prophecy. That's a good thing. And then you can have a revenge of bad. God says that he's going to punish the nations of the world for their wickedness. That's these revenges are positive.
Where was that vengeance for this Machshama German rabbi at the time?
Maybe in the next world they're getting their revenge.
I'm still looking for it.
Maybe all the Arabs that are now moving into Europe because of Angela Merkel is the revenge. That's their revenge. They killed the Jews, so they replaced them with the Arabs who are going to destroy them from within.
They're not atomic bomb. I like atomic bomb.
Yeah. V'amar Rebbe Elazar said, "Kol adam sheyesh bo da deya." Any person who has das, in other words, who has good judgment, who exercises his intellectual capabilities, and he works hard to understand and make good decisions. Ki ilu nivna beis hamikdash b'yamav. It's as if he built the temple in his days. Shezenit min shtei osios, because das is written between two names of God. Ki kel deos Hashem. Vezenit min shtei osios. And the holy temple itself is between two names of God. Mikdash Hashem, Konanu, Pa'alta Hashem, Mikdash Hashem, Konanu Yodecha. Amar Rebbe Elazar said like this, Kol Adam Shiesh Bodeya, any person who has Das, who has understanding, and the ability to take things to heart, and good judgment, good understanding, Lesof Mit Asher, ultimately he becomes rich. Shanam, as the verse says in Mishle Ubidas, and with Das, Chadarim Yimalu Kolhon Yakarvana Im. Rooms will be filled with all wealth, precious and pleasant. Vam Rebbe Elazar said also, Kol Adam She'ein Bodeya, any person who's lazy and he makes bad decisions because he doesn't exercise the God-given ability to have good intelligence, Asur l'rachim alav, you're not allowed to have compassion on him because he's worse than an animal. An animal doesn't have the ability, but he does. and he's being lazy. He can't have compassion on him. Shenam, as it says, Ki lo am binos hu. For this is not a nation of understanding. Al kein lo yirachamenu oseu. That's why the one who made him won't have love for him or compassion on him. V'yotro lo yichonanu. And the one who formed him will not have any favor towards him. Amar Belazar, Amar Belazar said like this. Anyone who gives away his bread to a person who has bad judgment, who's lazy in exercising judgment, Yisurin Bo'en Olav, he's going to have suffering. Because you shouldn't have any compassion on such a guy. The guy needs a kick in the pants to start to use his brains. Shenam, as it says, Lachmacha Yasimu Mazor Tachtecha Ein Tvuna Bo Ve'ein Mazor. So Lachmacha, you give your bread. Yasimu Mazor Tachtecha. They're going to put Mazor in your place. There's no understanding in him. In other words, Ein Mazor Ela Yisur. Mazor means suffering. Shenam, as the verse says, Vayar Ephraim Eschol Yo. Yehudas Mazoro. Ephraim saw his illness, and Yehuda saw his mazor, his suffering. Amar Blazer Blazer is like this: Kol Adam Shein Bodeya. Any person has no intelligence and no good judgment. Lasof Goleh. In the end, he's going to be sent into exile. Shenam says, Lachain Galami. That's why my nation went into exile. Mi bli das, because they had no das, they had no intelligence. Amar Blazer Blazer said furthermore: Kol Bayis Shein Divrei Torah Nishmayim Bo Balayla. Any house that doesn't have words of Torah heard in it at night. Fire consumes it. Shenam, as the verse says, Kol Choshech, wherever there's darkness, Tamun, hidden, Mitzvunav, where that which is hidden away is hidden. In other words, God's treasures are hidden there. There's no Torah there. Tochleu Eish, fire will consume it. Lo Nofeich, there's going to be a fire that's consuming it that doesn't need to be billowed up. It doesn't need to be blown up. In other words, it's the fire of Gehenna. Why? Because Yeira Sarid Ba'alo, this person who the Sarid, the Torah scholar, is bad to him in his tent. In other words, Ein Sarid Ela Tamad Chacham. So it is a Torah scholar. Shenamar v'sridim asher Hashem korei to the sridim that Hashem calls. So he doesn't want a Torah scholar in his tent. He doesn't have any Torah in his tent. He's going to have the fires of Gehenna. V'amar Rebbe Elazar said, Kol sheina mahana talmidei chacham nechasav ena roasim en bracha la'olam. Anyone who doesn't use his property to give pleasure to Torah scholars will never see a sign of blessing. Shenamar, the verse says, Ein sarid la'achlo. There is no sarid. There is no Torah scholar for his food. Alkein lo yachil tuvo. That's why his good will not succeed. Ein sarid al tamid chachamim. And sarid, as we just said, is Torah scholars. Shenam, as it says, uvasridim asher Hashem korei, to the sridim that Hashem calls. Amar Belazar said further, kol she'eno mishayir pas al shulchano, eino roa simen bracha li'olam. Anyone who doesn't leave over some bread on his table for the poor, some scraps, is not going to see any blessing forever. Shenam, as the verse says, Ein sarid la'achlo, he doesn't leave any sarid to his food. Alkein lo yachil tuvo. That's why his goodness will not succeed. You're saying it's a good thing to leave over scraps for the poor? It almost seems to be idolatry. For Amar Rebbe Elazar, didn't Rebbe Elazar say, Kol mashayir ptitim al shulchanu kilu ovad avodah zarah? There was apparently a certain religion where they used to leave crumbs on the table as the offering. So a guy who does it looks like he's worshipping idols. And as it says, Horochim lagad shulchan, those who prepare their table to the idolatry god, Malim lemani mimsach, and they fill for cups of perfumed wines for the avodah zarah called mini. If you have crumbs with a whole loaf of bread on the table, that seems an idolatrous offering. If you just have crumbs on the table without a whole loaf of bread, so then just having some crumbs, that's good. You're leaving it for the poor, and that is a righteous thing.
Yeah, Rabbi, is that what he's saying? You know, obviously, when we're doing Birkat Hamazon, we should have a piece of the bread left on the table.
Maybe it comes from here.
Birkat Hamazon is done. You remove the bread, right?
Okay.
But he's talking about here leaving the remaining, you know.
Apparently, I thought it was to leave it for the poor to come get it. So Amar Rabbi Elazar said, "Kalamachlif b'diburo, anyone who changes his voice, that people not recognize him, he's dishonest. Kilu over avodah zara. It's like he's worshiping idols." Sevach, it says over here that Yaakov said, "If I change my voice to pretend to be Esav, ayisiv enav kimisateya." In Yitzchak's eyes, he's going to consider me like a misateya. Sevach, it says over there about idolatry. Hevel hema, it is nothingness. Maasei ta'atuim, handiwork of the ones who are being led astray. Rabbi Elazar said, "Kol mistakel be'erva." Anyone who looks at the nakedness of a woman at her private genitalia, kashton and eres, the strength of his own male organ becomes uprooted. Shenamar, it says, "Erya," namely looking at the nakedness, "teor kashtecha," will take away your own bow. Rabbi Elazar said, "Olam have a kavel." A person should always be very humble, hiding himself, almost living in darkness, in the shadows, v'kayam, and through that he's going to live. Amr Abzer said, "Afana nami tznina." We also learned it in a Mishnah that humility is going to make you live. Why? Because we learned the halacha in regards to tzarat, bayit afel. If the house is dark, so then you can't see the plagues. So ein posel lo chanolonos liros nego. We don't open up windows in the walls to be able to see the tzaras. Shmaminas. You see, that's a good proof that once you have, in fact, darkness to the plague, once something is hidden, then there is no impurity. So the same way, once it's hidden, there's no tzaras. Once something is hidden, when you hide yourself, no one's going to see your flaws and you're going to live. Amar Reb Tavi, Amar Reb Yoshi, Amaydich, say what's the meaning of the verse? That Sheol v'otzerechem Eretz lo sava mayim. That four things don't say we have enough. They always want more. One of them is the grave, otzerechem and eretz, and the otzerechem and eretz all are never satisfied with the waters. What's the comparison between the grave and the womb? And the lomel chutzah tell you, marechem machnas motzi. Just like the womb takes in seed and puts out a child, af sheol, so to the grave. Machnas, it takes in a body, umotzi, and gives out a living person in tchias ha-mesim. V'alo dvarim kal v'chomer. So this is already something which is basic logic. Umarechem shemachnisim bo b'chashay. Motzim yimene b'kole kolos. The womb, it goes in secret, and yet when it comes out, it's very public. Sh'ol the grave, shemachnisim bo b'kolos. When it goes into the grave, it's very public. Eino din shemotzim yimene b'kole kolos. Certainly when it's going to come out of the grave, it's going to come out very, very public. Mikan, from here is the source, the tshuva as a response. So those who say that the dead are not coming back to life from the Torah, here you see it. The verse compares Sheol, the grave, to the womb.
When they come back, is it public or is it private?
Very public, very public.
So public dead and public alive again. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
That's right.
Versus the mother is
quiet,
private and then public.
That's right. There's going to be two revivals of the dead. First, in the days of Mashiach, only the tzaddikim are going to come back to life. And then there's going to be a revival for everyone. So, Tanna de Eliyahu, we learned in a brisa from Eliyahu HaNavi. Tzaddikim shasid HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'achyosan. When the tzaddikim are being brought back to life, einan chozen la'afron, at the end of the days of Mashiach, they're not going to go back to death. They're not going to go back to dust. That's where the verse says, "Vayanish arbet Zion." It'll be that those who are left in Zion, "Vanotar biyushalayim," and the remnants in Jerusalem, "Kadoshi amer lo." They will be declared that they are holy. "Kol akosav l'chaim biyushalayim," all written to life in Yerushalayim. So, "Ma kadosh l'olam kaim," just like God, the Holy One, lives forever. "Afheim," so to the tzaddikim l'olam kayamim, are going to live forever. They're not going to go back to dust. Vim tome, if you're going to ask, "Oh, son, shanim shasad HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'chadish ben esolama." What about the 1,000 years? The 7,000, when God is going to have a big Shabbos, when the world's going to be ceasing from everything, because God's renewing the world. What's going to be with these tzaddikim? Shanim, as the verse says, "V'nizgav Hashem levada bayomahu," God will be elevated alone on that day. Tzaddikim ma'inosim. What's going to be with these tzaddikim who you say keep lasting? The answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu osan lehen knafayim kanasharim. Hashem's going to make for them wings like eagles. The Shatan al Pnei Amayim, and they're going to be flying even over the world. It's going to be all water. Shenemar, as the verse says, Al kein lo nirah b'hamir eretz, therefore we will not fear when the earth collapses, b'mot harim b'lev yamim, when mountains collapse into the hearts of seas. V'shema tomer yesh lehem tzar, maybe you think that tzaddikim will be in pain in those days. Tamaloma, that's what the verse says, v'kovei Hashem, and those who have their hope in God, yachlifu koach, they will be renewed with strength. Yalu ever kanasharim, they will lift up with wings like the eagles. Yarutsu, they'll run. Velo yigo, they won't be tired. Yelchu, they will go. Velo yafu, they will not be exhausted. So the Gemara now says, how could you say that the tzaddikim are not going to die? And they look at Mason Shech Yecheskel. Look at Yecheskel in chapter 37. Yecheskel goes to a valley. God says to him, what do you see there? He says, I see a bunch of dry bones. God says, talk to the dry bones. He says, how can I talk to dry bones? They're dead. God says, talk to them. He talks to them and they come back to life. So they came back to life and then they died. So the same way they died, maybe the tzaddikim, when they'll come back to life in the days of Mashiach, they'll eventually die. And so the Gemara notes, Savarla, this Tana says that the tzaddikim won't die. It's command Amar Be'emes Mashal Hay. It's like the opinion that Yechezkel's story wasn't real. It was a parable. It was a vision. That the Jews are coming back to life by coming back to the land of Israel. And there was a vision that Yechezkel saw of bones coming back to life. But not that actually bones came back to life and then died. The Tani was in a Brisa, this was a dispute. Rebbe Yezer Omer Rebbe Lezer says, Mesim Shechi Yechezkel Amdor Ragnein Vamlu Shira Vamesu. The dead that Yechezkel brought back to life stood on their feet. They sang a song to God and they died again. Mashir Amr, what was the song that they sang? They said, Hashememis Bitzedek Umachaya Barachamim. God makes to die with justice and he renews to life with mercy. Rabbi Yeshua says, Shira Zo Amru. This is the song they said, Hashememis Umachaya, God makes die and then he makes live. Morit Shol Vayol, he brings down to the grave and then he brings it back up. And Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says, Emes Mashal Haya. This is really a parable. Amal Rabbi Nechem says, Rabbi Yehuda, Im Emes, if it's in truth, so Lama Mashal. What do you mean it's a parable? Im Mashal, if it's a parable, Lama Emes, in what way is it true? Ela Be'emes, meaning in truth. In other words, clearly, Mashal Haya, it's only a parable. And a third opinion, Beleza Ben Osher Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Omer Beleza, the son of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, says, Mesim Shefi Yecheskel. The dead that Yechezkel brought back to life in chapter 37 of the book of Yechezkel, Ol Eretz Yisrael, they went up to live in the land of Israel, and they married women, and they gave birth to sons and daughters. Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseir stood on his feet, and he said, Ani b'nei b'neihem, I'm one of their grandchildren. This tefillin that I'm wearing, I got it from my great-great-great-grandfather, who was a dead bone that Yechezkel brought back to life. Now, who are these people? Who are these dead bones, these dead people that Yechezkel brought back to life? Amarav, Rav said, Elu b'nei Ephraim. These are the descendants of Ephraim. What happened? They were in Egypt with all the other Jews. Shemanu laketz. They were trying to figure out when's the date when we're getting out. 400 years, Hashem told Avram Avinu. And they were off in their calculations. V'tzo'u, they made a mistake. They made a mistake, they were 30 years early. They counted 400 years from the Bris Ben Absarim, they didn't count 400 years from the birth of Yitzchak. So they ended up leaving early. So they ran out and they were killed in the desert. And Yechezkel went and brought them back to life. Shenemar, that's what the verse says, Uvnei Ephraim, the children of Ephraim, Shuselach Uvered Beno, V'tachas Beno, V'elad Beno, V'tachas Beno, V'zavad Beno, V'shuselach Beno, V'ezer, V'elad. All these children of Ephraim, and then the verse says, "In Divrei Hayom v'haragum anshei Gat, hanoladim la'aretz," and the people of Gat killed them. Uksiven, it says, "Vayisabel Ephraim aviyam yamim rabim v'yavo echav l'nachamo." Ephraim, their father, mourned for many days, and his brothers came to comfort him. So that's these people. They went out too early. They got killed, and then Yechezkel brought them back to life. Another opinion. Shmuel Amar, the dead that Yechezkel brought back to life. Elu b'nei Adam, shekafru b'tchiyas ha-mesim. These were people who denied the revival of the dead. Shenem, as it says, Vayomer Elai ben Adam, that Yechezkel says, and he said to me, Son of man, ha-atzamot ha-elo kobes Yisrael hema. These bones, these are the household of Israel. Hinei omrim yavshu atzmosenu. They say that our bones are dried. Va'avda tikvasenu. And our hope is lost. Nigzarnu lanu. We have had a decree against us. They thought our hope was lost. They thought that they were the dead who are not coming back to life.
They're supposed to be revived, right? Those who don't believe in the resurrection.
So that's an interesting point, right? It says earlier that someone who doesn't believe in the resurrection doesn't come back to life. So I saw that, I forget who it was. He said it means that they don't deserve life on their own. But when everybody else gets revived to life, they get some of the leftovers. They get some of the crumbs that are left over. They also get life. Ultimately, everybody gets brought back. We'll see that later in the Gemara. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabba said, "Elu b'nei Adam she'en b'hem lachlucha shel mitzvah." These were people who had no moisture of a mitzvah. Shenamis, it says, "Ha'atzamosa yeveishos," dried bones. Shimud var Hashem, listen to the word of God. And even so, God brought them back to life to show the Jews that even the Jews who are sinning are coming back to life and going to get the land of Israel again.
Rabbi, do we believe that we have an infinite number of neshamos?
They keep getting recycled.
Right.
That's an argument. Some say they get recycled. That's what the Kabbalists say.
Anti-Kabbalists don't say that. Only so many can be brought back, right?
Yeah. Rav Yitzchak Nafcha said, "Elu bnei Adam shechipu es haheichal kulo shkatzim uramasim." These were people who covered the entire temple with drawings and sculptures of rodents and avodah zarah. And Amos ever says, "Va'avo va'era," and I came and I saw v'nei kol tavnis remes ubehema sheketz. It says over there, that God made Yecheskel go around and around to see all these dead bones. So again, these are people of the around with Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Elu Mesim Shebebikas Dura, these were the dead of the Valley of Dura. Actually, we'll see that Yecheskel killed. So we'll see that Nebuchadnezzar killed. We'll see what that is pretty soon. All right. Who are the dead in the Valley of Dura? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Minahar Eshel ad Rabbas, from Nahar Eshel till Rabbas. It's the ravine of Dura. It's called Bikas Dura. What happened? Shebashash Agul Nebuchadnezzar Rasha Es Yisrael. When the wicked Nebuchadnezzar exiled the Jews from Jerusalem, Hayu Behen Bachurim. There were some young men who were so good looking. Hayu Meganin Es Hachama Biyofyan. They used to make the sun look ugly based on how beautiful they looked. So Vahayu Kazdiyosa, the female women of the Babylonians, the Kazdian, the Chaldean women, Roso son, they used to see these men, the Shofo Zavos, they'd suddenly start flowing with blood and blood because they had such desires for these Jewish boys. Amru Lebaalehen, so they told this to their husbands. They're having such a hard time that they're so attracted to the beautiful Jewish boys. Ubaalehen Lamelech, so the husbands told the king. So the king commanded and he killed them. So they were still having such problems thinking about these boys. So the king commanded and he crushed them. So these were the bones that Yecheskel brought back to life. Nebuchadnezzar makes an idol in Bikas Dura, and he says everybody has to bow to it, otherwise they're going to be thrown into a furnace. And in fact, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah refused to bow, and they get thrown into the furnace. So when Nebuchadnezzar, the wicked one, threw Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah into this furnace, God tells Yecheskel, go bring the dead of Bikas Dura back to life. Once Yecheskel brought them back to life, these revived bones came and hit that wicked person on his face. Amar Nebuchadnezzar said, "Mativan Sheili, who are these bones that are hitting me?" Amulo, his servant said, "Chavreim Sheili, these are the friends of Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah." Mechayim Mesim Vikas Dura. And then Nebuchadnezzar knew that God is bringing the dead back to life in the Valley of Dura. Pasach v'amar, so he started to say all sorts of praises of God. He said, "Oh, so he kama ravravin, his wonders, how great they are. V'timho he kama tkifin, and his deeds that are so beyond our understanding, how powerful they are. Malchusei malchus salam, his rule is a rule forever. V'shaltonei amdar vador, and his rule is over generation and generation." Amar Reb Yitzchak said, "Yutzak zav, roses l'toch piv shel oso rasha. Let hot gold be poured into the mouth of that wicked man. If not for an angel then coming and slapping him on the face to stop him from all of his praises of God, he would have gone and embarrassed all the praises that David said in the book of Tehillim, because he would have praised God so impressively and so nicely. Tanu Rabbanan learned in a brisa that that day when Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah were thrown into the furnace, Shisha Nisim Nasu Boso Yom, there were six miracles on that day. Elohim, Safa Kivsha, number one, the furnace rose. The furnace was in the ground. It went up so that everyone should see how they were walking out alive. Nifratza Kivshan, the furnace wall broke so people could see that they were alive in the fires. Humak Sodo, the foundation of the furnace collapsed, that people could see. V'napachat Selem Alpanav, this idol that Nebuchadnezzar made, flipped over. Nisrafu Arba Malchios, four kings that were helping throw Nebuchadnezzar, throw Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah into the furnace. They got burned. And number six, what we just learned, Hechya Yechezkel Asameisim Bikastura. In that same valley, Bikastura, Yechezkel brought the dead back to life. The Kula Gemara, all of these are a tradition. The Arba Malchios, and that the four kings helping Nebuchadnezzar were burned. Kra, that's a pasuk. The verse says, when Nebuchadnezzar Malka. All right, we'll start again from here at this point tomorrow. Rabbi Hanani.